Hello. So this is part two to our finale for season two, not because someone and I felt the need to discuss anything else related to Disney or Pixar, but mostly because we wanted to discuss what was happening in Palestine and Sheikh Jarrah and what is currently happening around the world with how distraught a lot of us are feeling because nothing is being done to aid everyone that is in Palestine, despite, everyone speaking up and protesting around the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we just we're in touch with the news. We've been following a lot of Instagram pages, a lot of people talking about it, and we just felt like we could also use this time to maybe give like a little bit of an outline to people about what's happening, and like so you can understand a little bit better, and be able to also people that are on the fence and are not understanding how serious the situation is, you can also help them understand. And honestly, because what is going on in the world is on like what is going on in Israel and Palestine right now is really not something that you can debate about, like, oh, like it's equal and all lives like matter type situation. This is actually a one-sided genocide and like just something really bad happening, so we just wanted to shed some light on it. We usually always talk about Netflix and happier things or whatever, but there are some things that you just can't like take the sideline or just like avoid because it is just so like important, and it just needs to be discussed. I believe both of us agreed on that. Yeah. So before we like fully start, I just wanted to give some definitions of like some words that we might be like using, and I might pronounce them wrong because like I'm just like crazy, like I can't pronounce things properly. But like anyways, yeah, so I'm just gonna like talk about some
Like
words that are important. What we mean when we say like ethnic cleansing, this is like when there's a mass expulsion or killing of members of one ethnic or religious group in an area, done by another. Like that's what we mean when we use these kind of words. And you will be seeing this word a lot, like on Instagram, that like a lot of Palestinians are referring to what's happening to their people as ethnic cleansing. So this is what we mean. And then words such as like illegal occupied states or illegal occupied territories. When we say this, we're basically talking about how, like, according to the UN and international law, certain parts of Israel, like as a whole, like West Bank and Gaza, are supposed to be under Palestinian, like only if under their rule, like they own those lands, but because Israel does whatever they want, what they've been doing is they've been have opening like you know they've been stealing land, and they've been creating their own settlements within like West Bank and like within like certain areas that were supposed to be only Palestinians. So this is what we mean when we say like illegal occupied states of like East Jerusalem or whatever, because Jerusalem as a whole is supposed to be Palestinian owned. But like, yeah, there's like settlements that have, and it's not even like small settlements. Like we're talking about like over like 75 to 85,000 people living in small like commun like compounds within Jerusalem, which is not like they weren't supposed to be there. And like slowly they're like expanding those regions as well, and like they're like trying to take over the whole place, basically, So that's what we mean when we say that. Then another word is I'm definitely going to pronounce this wrong, but an apartheid. This is basically when we are using that word, it is a South African like term that was like coined there, and it is the policy or a system of segregation or discrimination on grounds of race. And so that's what it means when we say that. And this is again something that is very visible that is happening right now, because just on the basis of them being Palestinians, they're being segregated, and and they're like also like religious reasons, I guess. So yeah, this is another word that you will hear a lot when people talk about this. Then the last word I wanted to talk about, no, I actually have two more words. Sorry, guys. I feel like a school teacher giving you like, definitions and spelling tests maybe. Is a Zionist, or what like Zionism is. This is basically a behind this. Their ideology revolves around like their three pillars, which is the land of Israel, the people of Israel, and the Torah of Israel. And that is what they like very strongly believe in. And like they just want to claim the entire land. Like they do not see any ifs, ands, or buts about it. No sharing, no nothing. They believe the entire land belongs to them and no one else. Like, you know what I mean? So that is what a Zionist or a, you know, that is what that word means. And so when we discuss that, this is what we mean. Okay, and then finally, you probably heard the word the Nakba, which is like the catastrophe. This was something that happened in 1947 to like 1948. And this is when there was a war between Jordan, Syria, Israel, and Egypt. And during this time, like the Israeli people disowned and like, you know, kicked out around like 700,000 Palestinian people from their lands, and they displaced them, they took over their homes, and like those people had to like flee. They found refuge in Jordan, they found refuge in like all over the world. They just had to leave. Like there was no like no severance package for them when like they were, their homes were taken away from them, or their land, or their, you know. And this war was like a huge war. It went on for like over like a year or something, and there was like a lot of like issues going on. And anyways, yeah, so this is what they refer to as Nakba. And the ultimate thing that came out of this was Israel got control of all of Palestine, like all of this, that area, you know. So yeah, and that's why like those states are known as 48, because like it happened in the year 1948. So yeah. Okay, yeah, I think I'm done. Maral, where are you?
I'm right here. Thank you for that, Saman. Mm-hmm. I do want to say a few things in case anyone hasn't really seen it online yet, because the one thing I do want to point out to our, you know, our coconuts listening in and our other listeners is that saying conflict between Israel and Palestine is a massive lie, because the truth is that this is not a conflict. This is an Israeli apartheid to ethnically cleanse Palestinians. And these terminologies is something someone just explained, because the other thing is, this is not a political issue. I mean, this is a humanitarian issue. And the reason why so many protests are happening around the world, and so much is happening around the world where there's like an uproar. Like if you go on social media right now, almost every other person is posting about Free Palestine. You know, like Mark Ruffalo said something. Bella Hadid joined a protest as well. And she was, you know, she wasn't sitting in a car just attending everything. She was standing there chanting, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." It's something that everyone is getting involved in actively. And we're all lost for words when we see, I mean, just today, Kamala Harris said that, you know, they will be providing millions and millions of dollars just to aid Israel because they're being attacked by Gaza. And it's like, no, they're not. They're really not. If you look at any of the videos or any of the footage that you could see, and it's not purely because, you know, we're Muslim, so we're only getting the Muslim side. No, we have access to, you know, what the Jewish people are publishing as well, what the Israelis are publishing as well. And you'll see that, you know, it's children with stones and people with missiles. That's not a conflict. That's not a fight. You know, it's being a bully, basically.
Read that it was $735 million that were being sent to Israel for aid.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's insane. And Israel is not even that big. It's just, I don't understand why they have so much power. And everyone is lost for words as to why and how the audacity of Israel to stand. And I think it was just yesterday, was it yesterday or earlier this morning, where Israel, the verified page of Israel on Twitter, posted emojis of rockets to symbolize that these are the airstrikes we've received from Palestine. And it's like, okay, but you would have done a quadruple of that.
Yeah.
And I mean, the amount of people you have killed in the past week doesn't even, do you get me? It doesn't even sum up to me to the amount of to the amount of Israelis that were killed at the hands of Palestinians. Mm-hmm. So it's just quite appalling. And it does come down to religion. Yes, of course, it is a religious dispute as well. But the way they're going about it is pretty much humanitarian, because you're not really just fighting Palestinian Muslims. You don't even care, Yemi. Like, if you find out that the person is Palestinian, that is all you're asking. You're not asking them if they're Jewish, Arab, like Christian or Muslim, because Palestine just does, you know, host and does have Palestinians who are from three different religions. They're not all from the same religion.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also another thing, like you talked about the internet thing, and I remember, like, I saw that, like, you know, when they bombed that building, they posted memes about it, like, you know, the before and after. So they posted like what it looked like before, and they posted the after it got bombed. They wrote after underneath it, and like they made jokes about it. Like, I saw John Oliver talked about it on his show last week. Or tonight, something like that. And I was like, it's disgusting how less they think of the life that is being lost, or like, you know, the structures that are being destroyed. Like, I mean, like, if you think about, like, you know, when they talk about Gaza being like the biggest open air prison, they can't even rebuild these things because the Israeli like wall controls like what goes in and what goes out, like, you know, so they don't even let them bring the construction material or like concrete or like whatever. So like the things that get destroyed, they can never be replaced. Like, I mean, like, what are you doing? And then like you're making jokes about it. It's beyond disgusting. Like, it's something so repulsive that like I am shook that the UN is just like whatever, like not doing anything, even though I know the UN is like beyond useless. But like, this is just something else. And then another thing that really bothered me, like speaking about like celebrities and like whatever, people that work that are part of the UN, like, you know, somebody like Selena Gomez or whatever, you know, she always talks about everything, like, you know what I mean, anything bad happens, she'll say something, you know. But like, how are people that are associated with the UN not talking about it? Like, you know, specifically people associated with like UN, like, you know, like for the, like, even like Prince Harry or someone, like, as a human, this is disgusting. Like, you know what I mean? Or even like Meghan Markle, like, you know, I mean, someone that's like been oppressed, has suffered a lot or whatever, should she not, like, should her heart not like scream out in pain right now? Like, I don't get it. Like, you know, there's so many people that are just quietly sitting there, like, you know, Priyanka Chopra, I don't give a F about her, I have no respect for her, so didn't expect anything from her. But like, yeah, and even though like I did not like what Greta Thunberg said or whatever, she's a freaking 15-year-old child, at least she said something, like, you know, like,
yeah,
at least her eyes aren't closed fully, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, she has like a biased opinion or whatever, but it's like, as a child, I like, I'll give her a pass, like, whatever. But like, yeah, so it's just, that part was just gross to me, like, especially if you're associated with like United Nations, an organization that's supposed to bring peace, what are you doing, bro? Like, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, I have no respect for Priyanka Chopra, but I also don't have a lot of respect for Malala. I mean, it's close to non-existent. I really don't have any respect for Malala. I think she is a political sellout and a puppet, but she tweeted something. Granted, she had covered her words up with the most diplomatic terms possible, but she did say something. And considering she posted that tweet right after she tweeted about what happened in Afghanistan, in Kabul, that's where you could tell, like, okay, she made an effort to cover up certain words. And that just completely solidifies my opinion of her being a political sellout. But I want to go back to the wall that you talked about. Someone, you know, the separation barrier that they call it, it's basically the upper tide wall. Like, that's what it is, you know, like, yeah. The Israel Defense Force is basically Israel occupation force. Like, it doesn't, they're just there. Like, if anyone's watched the Hunger Games, even any of the four movies, and you see the peacekeepers like attack the people in the districts, that is what it is. Like, they don't care. Get me? I'm sorry. Like, as a human being, there is no justification for a person who is armed with guns and bullets to shove a child away because the child happens to be from another religion or another country. That doesn't make it okay. at all. My heart bleeds out for everything that's happening in Palestine. You and I have grown up with Palestinians as well, because we both went to international schools, and we're still friends with most of them, actually. And it always bugged me how, at least you and I have places to call home. Get me, like, some of our friends, like most of our friends have a place to call home, except for our Palestinian friends. They don't, whatever is home is where they are, because there is a generational displacement that everyone is going through, and it needs to stop. This has been going on for decades, and I don't understand what any of the administrations are doing, what the governments are doing, and what the OIC is doing. Like, I'm sorry, okay, the UN is useless, okay? They're clearly in the pockets of those who like to oppress others.
Yeah.
But the OIC, which stands for the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You're literally doing nothing. Like, there is nothing that you are doing. No aid has been sent to people. People don't even know. Like, there are so many people that want to donate money to people in Palestine, but I was watching these live chats with, like, some people who are Palestinian activists, and they kept saying that, you know, they turned off the internet. They weren't allowing supplies to get to Palestine. They weren't allowing any money to be transferred, and that just, like, if you're lost for words, because Palestine is also home to, you know, the one of the most significant mosques apart from Mecca and Medina in Islam. And it's just, I mean, you think about it, I can't even imagine going there as a tourist. If I end up going to Palestine, I want to go there as, like, a social worker. Like, I want to be there to, like, help the people, because the level of trauma that children are enduring, and we're seeing footage of them now, it's baffling. Like, what are we supposed to say to them? What are we supposed to say to our own children? You know, what did we do when this was happening in Palestine? Oh, nothing. We boycotted a few brands, but then went back to them, because I remember these brands were being boycotted back in 2014 as well. They were being boycotted a few years before that, but we all kept using them. Like, I haven't had Starbucks in a decade. And I remember, like, every single time someone would tell me off for it, I'd just be like, listen, I don't support Starbucks because I know that they're in the pockets of Israelis. I don't buy from Marks and Spencer because they've stated that their profits from their Sunday profits go directly into Israel. They're so open and proud about it. I don't understand how they're blind to it. Right. It's appalling. But yeah.
Yeah. You're so right. Like, you know what? Like, this is what they're good at. Like, they'll pause for a little bit. Like, Israeli, like, the defense force and every, like, their government or whatever, they'll pause their, like, disgusting behavior for a little bit and then slowly keep doing it, but, like, very, like, undercover. And then with time, people, like, forget, and then they end up going back into their old ways. And then you stop, like, posting about it. You stop, like, thinking about it or whatever. And then they'll, like, you know, do something terrible again. And it's just, like, there's literally no end to it. Like, you know, it's a vicious, like, cycle that they keep doing. And yeah, like, after a while, you just end up going back to the things because you just forgot, like, why you had stopped in the first place. But yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And what's disgusting is that they decided to do this during the last days of Ramadan.
Yeah.
You know, right after Eid prayer. Like, they couldn't wait for Sheikh Jarrah. Like, they couldn't get me, like, they had to start cleansing Sheikh Jarrah. Let's call it what it is. They wanted to cleanse Sheikh Jarrah of all Palestinians and claim it as their own during the holy month of Ramadan. It's like, really, because from what I remember, even in World War I, when no one really anticipated how long World War I would have lasted, you, like, the first Christmas that was celebrated, everyone did celebrate Christmas together because it was a holy thing for all countries involved. But then they went back to fighting each other right after. Why didn't you give them a period of collect themselves or to sort of prepare? Because this, like, what's pissing me off and what's triggering me and triggering a lot of people is that news channels like BBC, CNN, Al Jazeera, even, they're saying things like, oh, there's a conflict. Honey, it's not a conflict. A conflict requires you to have two parties with equal number of resources. They don't have that. You don't have that. I was listening to a podcast earlier about Palestinians, and this Palestinian lady said, the one thing that I'm looking for, like, the one cure that I'm looking for and asking doctors about is clashes, because everyone keeps saying that Palestinian child died in a clash. what is this? Is it a disease? Why does it seem to be that only Palestinian children are dying because of clashes? Is this a medical terminology?
Yeah.
It's not okay. Mm-hmm. You know, all these children that have lost lives, like today, I was reading something and someone wrote that, oh, because of my immunized something, like she was talking about how her I don't know, she basically gave me a medical term, and she was like, because of that I can't go to the protest. And part of me was just like, you know, even the fact, and I know I'm going to come across so judgmental, but I swear I judge myself for this as well, the fact that we have the privilege to make these choices is a privilege as well. Like, you know, for us to say like, oh, I'm not going to eat fish anymore, oh, I'm not going to have, you know, bread because I'm trying to go on a gluten-free diet. Palestinians can't afford to do that. Does that mean that they're, you know, they're tribal? No, they're not. Mm-hmm. They've never been allotted this. Children have had lullabies of airstrikes. Right. That's not okay. Yeah, how, right. Like, I follow this Instagram influencer, and her five-year-old son, she was telling her son, she posted this conversation on Instagram where she said, my son was really upset, so I told him that the least we can do is pray. And he looked at his mom, five-year-old, okay, he's a five-year-old, dead straight, and said, the most we can do is pray. Because that's all he's seen in his 5 years of life, that all we're doing is praying. Nothing has been done. And if a five-year-old can understand this, I don't understand why others can't understand this. If a four-year-old that I met last week can understand that everything that is happening right now is wrong and we need to stop killing each other for no reason, why can't the governments understand this? Our elected officials have only disappointed us. Unfortunately, we picked the lesser of both two evils, and the Biden administration hasn't done anything. The other administrations in the world haven't done anything. It's just
the Biden administration, instead of like not doing anything, they've worsened it. You know,
they've worsened it. Yeah,
they've
They were the only ones who opposed it
with Israel, like openly, and they were literally the only country that didn't condemn the actions, like as in like on a governmental like scale.
Yeah,
like, even. Like every country has shown that they're upset and they think it's disgusting.
Yeah,
like,
you know? Even in the UN when they had a conference, it was just the US that was opposed. Like
exactly,
they're the only ones who stood against their it. And their
ties are deep. Like they're from like World War I. Their ties have been like since then. But before we like, you know, talk more about like, you know, the impact and everything, let me give you guys a little bit of a timeline kind of thingy, mm-hmm. on like what happened. So basically I feel like where it kind of all started, this timeline is only going to be from 2021. Like obviously this issue has been going on for a really, really long time, but like yeah, anyway, so in February 5th 2020, the International like Criminal Court, they rule that they should investigate the war crimes that Israel occupied territories have done. Like, you know, they wanted to investigate Israel, like whatever, like, you know, they wanted to do that. Thank God. But like, anyways, yeah. So I think that was like one of the things that like really triggered Israeli people and the government, because they have been going on for so long, committing so many like atrocities without any repercussions. Like, you know, they don't answer to anyone. Okay. So then the like after a couple months, like April 13, the Israeli police, April 13, the Israeli police, they go and they raid Masjid al-Aqsa and they sever all the loudspeakers, like they cut the wires and everything. And they like they kind of like tell everyone to leave or whatever, because there was like a Memorial Day speech going on and like there was prayers going on in the Western Wall, like by the Israeli people. And they didn't want to disturb those people by like the sounds of like Masjid al-Aqsa, like, you know, they didn't want to hear the prayers and everything. So this happened in April 13th. They had kind of already started like behaving terribly, like, you know, so that happened, like, you know, the people of Palestine were already upset. You. Like, you know, like, okay, I don't know. So on April 22nd, a huge like a far right like Jewish supremacist like type of group or whatever, they held a march in Jerusalem chanting death to Arabs. Okay, so this happened in April 22nd, 2021. Basically no one heard information about this because there's a lot of news suppression and like all of these things happening. But like if you really look, if you like Google it, you will find these things. Like I'm not making this up. All right, so this is going in the backdrop. Okay, and then in April, they announced that they were going to take over some areas in Sheikh Jarrah, and claim those homes. And so the Palestinian people, because they wanted to do everything like by law or whatever, they filed against that and they took it to court. But the Israeli courts, this is another thing, the Palestinian people do not have their own courts, they do not have their own police force, they have nothing, okay? Like, if they
don't even have an army.
Yeah, they don't have anything. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, so they took it to the Israeli courts, they obviously denied it and voted in favor of the Israeli people and saying that they can take over those lands, those houses. I think there's 6 specific homes that they wanted to evict and take over. So they lost that court case and they were not able to do it. So they said beforehand that in May that they were going to evict these people, okay? The people protested and they said no, okay? They did not want to leave their homes, which is right, And so then come May 6th, okay, this is where our story starts. May 6th, they began forced eviction. People started coming to their homes, they started being violent and everything. So then what the Palestinian people did was they started protesting, and they started protesting in that specific area, and they tried to prevent people from coming in and taking over those homes, And so, but then there's Israeli settlers that live within that area too, because they've never given Palestinians any free area. So those settlers, the civilian people or whatever, they started attacking these people, attacking the protesters, or beating them and stuff. And it was so disgusting to see videos of that. You had civilians attacking people, and the IDF, their occupation, their defense force or occupation force, like you said, they were just standing around in a circle barricading the people fighting and not even helping anyone, and then ultimately arresting Palestinian people for what? I don't understand. For getting attacked and for being brutalized by people. It was disgusting. But yeah, anyway, so this is what was happening. So now, because these Palestinian people were protesting and they were not going down easily, giving them the land that they wanted, what they did was on May 7th, they attacked Masjid al-Aqsa the first time. Meaning while people were praying, they went and they started throwing stun grenades, they started throwing rubber, oh my god, this was so disgusting. It's not only rubberized pellets, the things that they used in America on protesters, it's not that, it's steel reinforced rubberized pellets. So that shit is I can't even imagine getting hit by something like that. So they used that, they used tear gases, stun grenades, they did that within Masjid al-Aqsa itself, and then also the area around it, which is a commercial marketplace. So
and this was all while they were praying.
Yeah, this was all around the time they were praying. Yeah, they
did. And for those of you who don't know, when you're praying, you're not really moving around.
Exactly.
You're praying.
Exactly.
Most of the people have their eyes closed.
Yeah, dude. Okay, so they did that. When they threw tear gas or stun grenades inside, they shut all the doors, preventing people from escaping and causing them to stay within that disgusting you know what I mean, smoke filled, bad smelling, whatever it is, they trapped them inside that. Okay, they threw the grenades or those stun grenades both in the women's section and the men's section. Can you imagine doing that to women, mothers? They did that anyways. Yeah, so then when this happened, okay, on May 7th, Palestinian people started protesting again. They were what the hell? And then this time, all of the people from West Bank, all over West Bank, they started coming towards Masjid al-Aqsa because they were we are going to protect our mosque, because you said, this is the it's literally the third most holiest place for us. It means a lot to Muslim people, mm-hmm. So anyways, yeah, so people from all over, West Bank, people from the Israeli side that are Muslims, they all started coming in. So what the IDF or whatever you want to call them, they formed barricades on the highway, preventing them from coming into Masjid al-Aqsa area. Okay, and then so then because people are so resistant in Palestine and they've suffered so much, what they did was they left their cars and they got out of the car and they started walking towards Al-Aqsa. Okay, and then some people that have were able to can go to Masjid al-Aqsa, they came and they drove and they picked up the people that were walking and brought them towards the Masjid. So yeah, they continued their protesting, the peaceful protesting. Literally, I cannot describe to you how peaceful this protest was. They were honestly just walking. They had no weapons, no nothing. I mean, how would they even carry weapons? They knew they had to pass through like 10,000, like, you know, checkpoints or anything. They literally had nothing on them. There were people that were like, you know, like older, like men and women that were just doing it because they wanted to protect their mosque. They like, even while they were walking, you could see like videos, they were like tired and they were like exhausted, but it was the, you know, just, I don't know, like it was just their love for God and the mosque that like continued, like helped them come. So anyways, this was May 7th. Okay. Then May 8th, what do you call it? So after this Masjid al-Aqsa attack, okay, so on May 8th, Hamas, like, you know what, you keep hearing this crap, like from like other people, like, oh, they're doing this, like it's like, you know, they're the ones that are causing problems, blah 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 blah. But like, look how far you've pushed everyone, okay? Like, look what you've done. So then Hamas like issues a warning saying that like to stop these attacks on Masjid al-Aqsa, because like, you know, obviously it is their holy like place, and to stop those attacks or else they will like, you know, they will try to do something, like they will, you know, whatever. So obviously they got fully ignored, and as a huge FU, the IDF went and attacked Masjid al-Aqsa the second time. Okay, so now like this is them just showing everyone like, look at us, we can do whatever we want. Okay, so the second time that they attack Masjid al-Aqsa is May 10th. Okay, so basically this was also known as Jerusalem Day. So not only were the IDF attacking the Masjid or whatever, but it was also like, you know, civilians and stuff, because everyone, like all these Israeli people, were celebrating Jerusalem Day. So they were just like, you know, they went through this like, you know, the commercial area of Masjid al-Aqsa, they went through that, like literally like destroying things in their way and like attacking people. And then they came towards Masjid al-Aqsa and they tried to barge in. Okay, IDF pretended like they were stopping them, but they were not stopping them. It was more like, you know, high-fiving them kind of thing, like good job, like, you know.
It was the same thing that happened on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right before, right, Biden came into the office. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, they were, anyways, yeah. So they ultimately made it inside Masjid al-Aqsa. And then even then, what the IDF did was they did the same thing again. They also threw like stun grenades and all of that stuff. They walked into Masjid al-Aqsa with their shoes and their disgusting, like whatever, like, you know, and they like, whatever. And then they like locked all the doors of Masjid al-Aqsa. They took the keys from the Imam, and they basically prevented them from going inside Masjid al-Aqsa, you know, just to enforce and show you how strong they were and they could do whatever they wanted. So this happened. Okay, then finally, like, then Hamas like did the 400 rockets or whatever, which is such a huge talking point, but honestly, if you look at it, not like literally half a rocket landed in Israel. Other than that, nothing made it through, because they have such a huge budget for their military system or whatever. They're, you know, they have the best weapons and stuff. So they have this thing called the Iron Dome, and or I don't know how to explain it. There are these patriotic missiles or whatever, and whenever a rocket comes, another one like hits it and like it makes it explode in midair. So none of the rockets really made it. Like, honestly, like I don't even know what the heck is happening. Okay, so now, like, up until then, only Sheikh Jarrah and like the West Bank was involved, okay? But like when Hamas did this, this was Gaza, okay? Like, you know, because they operate from the Gaza Strip. Mm-hmm. Anyways, yeah. So then, like, then Israel, like, okay, like, you know what? We're gonna use this opportunity to destroy Gaza. Like, legitimately, that's been their dream since the beginning of time, okay? So yeah, anyways, May 10th was when those 400 rockets were fired. Okay, yeah, so I did some research. Only two landed, but other than that, everything was like taken care of, and there was only one casualty in the Israeli side, okay, from the Hamas attack, okay? And then from May 10th to May 18th, like till today, Israel has been launching rockets, missiles, doing airstrikes. Like, so far 950 rockets have been launched, or airstrikes have been conducted. They have destroyed 18 buildings, 4 high-rise towers, 40 schools, 4 hospitals, and a refugee camp that got destroyed. And then also on top of that, they destroyed the Al Jazeera building, which held the Associated Press news offices. So basically, they're controlling the information that goes in and out. Like, they're preventing that. They control the water, like, you know, their water supply. They control their electricity supply. So basically, Gaza's kind of like gone dark. Like, it's the information that we are getting now is coming more from like West Bank and like Sheikh Jarrah, like, you know, those people that are in touch with their family or the, you know, people in Gaza. Like, they're the ones that are giving us information now at this point. So they've done this, okay? So they were doing these airstrikes, and they've done like 100, like they've done like 950 of them already. If that wasn't enough, like, just like maybe yesterday or day before yesterday, they officially announced that they were going to do ground control, meaning the IDF, like military or whatever, they're just going to start sweeping in through Gaza looking for what they claim is Hamas. But like, I don't think Hamas was hiding in a school. I don't think Hamas was hiding in like a refugee camp or like, you know, the press building or whatever. Like, you think Hamas, like an organized, according to them, a terrorist organization is going to be hiding in a news facility where they could have gotten caught in like 1 second? Like, it was such effing bullshit. Like, okay, anyways, yeah. So they're going to be doing like a ground thingy, and they're just going to be like, you know, like flooding into Gaza, like no tomorrow. And then about those the settlements that they want to like steal in Sheikh Jarrah or whatever, I heard that they've moved the eviction date for next month. And which is another thing that they're so smart at doing, is because they're going to distract the media and distract everyone. Because like, within a month, like, you think, like, I'm sure even I will stop posting about this. Like, I've been posting about it consistently every day. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be like, okay, yeah. But like, they're going to do this like next month now, like, you know. Yeah. Okay. I know this was like really long, but I just wanted to give like a little bit of a background of what happened and like what's going on basically.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions about that?
I don't. But yeah, no, I do.
Correct? Like, I mean, you know, because
you did. Yeah.
Looking at stuff as well, researching.
You did. I just, the thing is, I just want to tell everyone who's listening is that do not let the momentum die. Like, what someone has said, like, it's very easy for us to experience, you know, a little bit of burnout, and we don't really know what to do, because it's very frustrating. And I can contest to this, because like, even when I was, when I was working in student affairs, so many of the students would come in, and they were so frustrated because there was information at their fingertips. Get me? Like, there's nothing that you could like filter out, and they were so frustrated because they're just like, we feel so helpless, like we can't do anything. And this is for like small things, not even small things. I mean, obviously they were pretty big back then, and they're still pretty big right now. But it is the thing, like, it's very easy to experience burnout, especially when you feel like you're doing nothing. But the thing is, like, if you keep posting, the momentum continues. And I know Instagram's trying to, like, you know, filter out the things. I mean, someone and I were both very shocked to find out that there were protests happening in Pakistan. We didn't know there were protests happening in Pakistan. We were aware that they were happening everywhere else. But because we have friends who are in Pakistan, and then they started directing us towards pictures, they showed us pictures. There are protests happening all over Pakistan this week and next week, and one of our friends is organizing a march as well. So now we know what's happening. But then that's just it. Like, Sheikh Jarrah is one of the millions of atrocities that the Palestinian people have had to face. Yeah, I mean, this is an everyday reality for Palestinians. I mean, if you're tired of looking at the stories that everyone is posting on Instagram, and I'm sure some of the stories are very similar because everyone's following the same authentic pages. Think about it. At least we have the option to like click away and not look. People have to live through this. People aren't thinking about, oh, what should I do my PhD in? They're thinking about, oh, will I survive the night to see my child in the morning? Or the child's thinking, will I see my mom? I mean, I saw this tweet and it was heartbreaking. Someone wrote that, you know, her husband, who's Palestinian, just spoke to his cousin who is currently in Gaza, and he said that, oh, I'm brushing my hair so that I could look nice when I'm dead, or, you know, as a martyr. And that's not something you want a child under the age of 7 to say. It's not okay. None of this is okay. Don't stop using the hashtags, you know, hashtag save Sheikh Jarrah, Sheikh Jarrah in Palestine, because we are making a difference. And the thing is, like, if you start asking yourself, like, am I me posting all of this stuff? Like, is it making a difference? Think about it. The news building was bombed for a reason. Exactly. It's because everyone is posting about it. It's because everyone's demanding for justice, and everyone is starting to question the authenticity of the OIC and the UN, especially because the UN was ready to jump on the bandwagon to, like, you know, hurt Iran because they broke two humanitarian laws, whereas Israel has had so many war crimes, basically attacking women, children, and the elderly, and those civilians that are unarmed, that falls under war crimes. Mm-hmm. And that is something that the UN can attest for, because I checked their website and it's under Article 6, if I'm correct, under war crimes. And Israel is breaking all of that, but no one is doing anything about it. So please, keep yourself updated and educate those around you, because a lot of people just don't know what's happening. I met someone just last week who had no idea what Sheikh Jarrah was, who had no idea what was going on, even though it was on every single news outlet and on Instagram. I know you have to be very, very filtered out from these things, but it does tend to happen. So just make sure that it's an ongoing conversation. Like, we have the ability to use Instagram stories, Snapchat stories, WhatsApp stories, tweets. Twitter also has stories now. It's ridiculous how everywhere you could just post something, it's going to be gone 24 hours anyway. So post something about Palestine, pray for them, donate, educate yourselves by listening to podcasts and follow the pages that are authentic with proper authentic information. Someone and I will be tagging those on our social media posts and in the episode info for this as well. It's just, let's try and make a change, because I don't want to be standing baffled in 10 years when my child looks at me and asks me, what did I do to help Palestine? And I'm just standing over there going, like, I have no idea, while sipping on my Starbucks cup wearing an MS shirt. Yeah. So no.
Yeah, I know. I don't want that. I think about that too. Like, I don't want to, like, even stand in front of God and be like, yeah, I didn't do anything. Like, you know,
yeah.
I don't know how, like, these Muslim leaders are going to stand in front of Allah and be like, you know, like, they were given the responsibility to protect Masjid al-Aqsa, Makkah, Medina, like, you know, and
yeah.
Like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you know, and then another thing, like you were talking about the social media stuff, I do, you're right. It is important, because I know, like, for a fact that, like, Israeli people really care about their image. There's a lot of people that are pretending to be Palestinians, but they're actually Israeli people, and they're saying bullshit. Like, they're saying, like, oh, like, you know, I'm gonna do this. I'm like, you know, they're spreading false information. Why would they spend so much time on Twitter or on, like, Instagram or on whatever social platforms they're using to spread, like, weird narratives or whatever, because they really care about their image. Like, it is something that is very important to them, because they have been, like, you know, like, when your character, or when you are like this, like, when a country is doing bad things or whatever, it is not going to be hidden. Like, people know, like, you know, people know that these people are doing bad things. Like,
yeah,
no matter where you are in the world or whatever, people are a bit reserved when they talk about, like, Israeli people, or, you know, like, these Zionists, or, like, these kind of, like, they get a bit, like, uncomfortable, because they know that no matter what, like, these people have been doing wrong, like, you know. So that's why, like, yeah, like Maral was saying, do not stop this conversation, like, continue talking about it, because, like, yeah, like, physically we might not be able to do anything, but, like, you know, the pen is mightier than the sword sometimes, so we might as well, like, you know, use our voice, use our words, and, like, try to do whatever we can. And, like, inshallah, who knows, like, if we ever do get an opportunity in life, I know, like, I would jump on it, like, you know, to help or whatever. So, like, yeah.
One more thing. Yeah, definitely. One more thing that I do want to say is that, you know, like, what someone just said, like, a lot of people do think we're saying anti-Semitism, and it's like, no, see, as Muslims, we will stand with them, okay? Yeah. It's basically anti-Zionism that we're saying, because when speaking out against Israel, media frames Palestinian supporters to be anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. We're not. Palestinians are not anti-Semitic. Muslims are not anti-Semitic. Being anti-Zionist does not make you anti-Semitic. The Israeli government and its operation does not reflect the Jewish people. Exactly. The other thing I do want to point out, because one stupid lady called Mina Malik, who's a model in Pakistan, decided to tweet a Hitler quote about Jews. Right. And I do have
that.
To,
like, you and
we
I,
we condemn that. Yeah.
Not only did we respond to her own tweet, she took it down, by the way, because I went back and I looked at it. Not anymore.
Well, boohoo, I still have screenshots, but it's just one thing I do want to point out is that for us to say, like, listen, guys, at the end of the day, I know we're Muslims, but we're also human beings, okay? killing another human being for absolutely no reason at all, just because they have a different mindset, is not okay. Killing someone who is an unarmed person, that was my next point. Yeah, or a child, especially, that's not okay. The thing is, like, what Hitler did was not okay. Hitler never actually, you know, saw the concentration camps. He never actually saw what was going on because he was leading it. He was a puppet master. But for us, for anyone to say that, oh, Hitler had the right idea today, that's not okay. Because what Hitler did, granted, Israel has turned into something that they hated, but that's a reflection on them. That's you knowing that they have no vision outside of their own box. But I mean, I've studied Anne Frank. I've taught Anne Frank. So, like, I mean, for what Anne Frank and kids of that age went through is not okay. What children in Palestine are going through is not okay. Mm-hmm. So for us to say anything about any dictator who had the right idea, that's not okay either. Yeah. Like, we just need to stop this. We can't say that. Don't say that. Don't say Palestinian lives matter. I mean, they do matter, but that's not a hashtag that's going to die out. Get me? BLM was a movement and it still is, and it's still going on and everyone's working towards it. Let's not let Palestine die out on this as well, because we not even God, we have like human beings to answer to. Like, I know for a fact that I would be completely speechless if any child asked me, like, what did you do? You know, you had resources, you were financially stable. What were you doing? What am I going to say? So, I mean, let's try to not stop posting about it and try to make a difference, because hopefully there is some sort of change. I mean, us posting it did lead to a building being eradicated. Unfortunately, there were casualties, but hopefully there will be a positive outcome towards all of this.
So before we close off, I just want to say that, like, these past few, like, you know, days, we have been hurting, we've been praying, we've been like, I just want, like, anyone that's like Palestinian that might come across this, I just want them to know that, like, we're watching their stories, we're learning, we're like, our heart and soul, it's breaking, and we're crying for them, and we're, you know, trying to do, I don't know, we're just praying for them, like, you know, we're praying for peace.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, not even especially, it's just, it's unfair. This whole thing to call it a conflict is unfair. And I will give you some of the numbers. Like, Palestinian army, it's zero. Okay. The Israeli army is over 500,000 people. The Navy, Palestinians have nothing. The Israelis have 20,000. The Air Force, Palestinians have nothing. The Israelis have 89,000. And the military budget, Palestine has zero. And Israel has $20.5 billion. And as of today, Kamala Harris has promised to give more and more billions as aid. And honestly, like, she plans to be there for the next decade. I strongly encourage anyone who is in any power, I know that regardless of what administration we vote for, they will always support these people. I don't even know if this podcast is going to be up in the air for that long, but please don't vote for Kamala Harris next time. Just don't. She should have been on Trump's ticket, so both of them should have been out, but oh well. That is what it is. But now I would like to read some of the names of the martyrs in Gaza, the children that were killed and massacred. And I hope to meet them in heaven one day. And apologize. Yazin al-Masri, 2 years old. Ibrahim al-Masri, 11 years old. Yahya Khalifa, 14. Lina Shahir, 16. Mustafa Ubaid, 17. Bashar Samour, 17. Ibrahim Hasnan, 16. Muhammad Suleiman, 16. Hussein Hamad, 11. Bara al-Gharabali, 6. Rahat al-Masri, 10. Marwan al-Masri, 7. Hamza Ali, 12. Hala al-Rifi, 14. Zaid al-Talbani, 5. Amar al-Amur, 11. Hamada al-Amur, 13. Khalid al-Kanu, 17. Lina Isa, 14. Bathina Abid, 6. Amir al-Tanani, 7. Adam al-Tanani, 4. Muhammad al-Tanani, 3. Ismail al-Tanani, 8. Ahmed al-Hawajiri, 14. I'm sorry, I can't continue. Thank you.
Thank you.